It's being called a targeted attack that started as a street takeover here in Connecticut. Let's head to East Haven, where police are actively searching for several people who they say carried out a targeted attack on one of their officers. This happened a couple of days ago, but it says that several officers responded to a ShopRite Plaza just before 2:30 in the morning for a report of numerous vehicles blocking the roads, performing burnouts. You've heard about this before. And when the first officer showed up, he was reportedly confronted by several people in masks. One person reportedly spraying the officer's cruiser with a fire extinguisher and then throwing the extinguisher at the cruiser. It continues by saying that multiple people climbed onto the police vehicle, kicking it and going on and on about this street takeover turned into targeted attack on police. And of course, it leads us to have yet another conversation about what, if anything, is Connecticut doing to better protect people and now including officers in street takeover situations. Joining us now to talk about this is State Senator Jason Perillo, who represents Connecticut's 21st District. That includes Stratford, Seymour, Shelton, and Monroe, all places where street takeovers have been reported in just the past year. He also happens to be a member of Connecticut's Judiciary Committee. And one thing is for sure, are there stiff enough penalties for the people who are committing these crimes? Senator Perillo, thank you so much for being here and weighing in on this conversation.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you.
So I guess let's start there. I would imagine the answer is no, we don't have stiff enough penalties for people who commit these crimes. But I do know that this has been certainly a focus for lawmakers the last couple of legislative sessions. What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, penalties were increased at the end of last session. However, the original version of the legislation was much tougher than what eventually was approved. And look, I voted for what went through, but it still wasn't everything that I wanted. It wasn't everything that a lot of other legislators wanted as well. It was a compromise, you know, but clearly a compromise that hasn't worked. Because let's sort of turn back the clock. The seeds of this were sown years ago when the legislature, along party lines, you know, backed by Democrats, passed what was then known as the Police Accountability Bill. And, you know, the thought process was that, you know, we're going to hold police officers accountable for things that go wrong during arrests and whatnot, which, all right, I get it. But look what happened. And you've covered this. And if you ask a police officer, they'll tell you the bill really tied the hands of police officers and made it extraordinarily difficult for them to do their jobs, especially when it came to detaining criminals and when it comes to actually meting out the punishments and the penalties that are required under law. So fast forward to today. We passed a number of additional penalties, you know, everything from confiscation of ATVs to stiffer penalties as they pertain to license suspension. But again, we've created this culture where the laws don't apply to some people. And quite honestly, they don't care about what the laws are. So play this out. If somebody is at a street takeover and they get caught and, you know, they're a third time, by the way, it takes three times, their license is suspended. So what do? They just go out and drive anyways, mm-hmm. because there's just no respect for the law and law enforcement. And the legislature created that problem.
So I was going to ask that, Senator Perillo.
No,
you're fine. I was going to ask, so you do believe that the police accountability law that was passed years ago, that was 2019, 2020, I can't remember. I mean, that was all during COVID, I remember. But it was what, 5-6 years ago they passed that?
That's about right.
Okay. So do you believe that coincides with things like the uptick in street takeovers, for example?
Oh, I don't believe it. I know it. You can trace a lot of the increases in crime, particularly crimes like this. If you remember, there was the huge rash of car break-ins a mm-hmm. few years ago. Everywhere it was happening. And, you know, people were arrested. They were brought in. They were released. And there was no penalty. And there was no fear of being arrested. And that is the culture that we have created. And I've heard many legislators, I've heard the governor's office say, well, crime is down. Okay, it doesn't feel that way. It sure as heck doesn't feel that way.
Well, I think that they look at the most egregious crimes. So here's the thing that drives me nuts whenever I hear that. I've got to be honest, Senator Perillo, because just being, forget even being a taxpayer, I think it all felt different once I had kids. And I know you have kids. The thing is I can be told till I'm blue in the face that we live in one of the safest states in the country. That's great. I mean, listen, that definitely is a factor for why I pay to live here. And that's great. But I don't care what the crime is in any other state across the country. I don't care. And I don't say that in a mean way. I say it in a logical way that is, okay, but if there are things that are happening that we could be preventing or handling better, then we should do it. I don't care if we're doing it better than any other state in the country. I want to know that we are exercising in every way possible, recruiting officers correctly, which, to your point, I believe the police accountability law also contributed to why we have shortages, not just because of COVID. I think we're going to mask it with COVID, but I believe the police accountability law is a reason you saw a mass exodus of a lot of great officers, even state troopers. I think that's why recruitment is somewhat difficult in some regard. But I don't care where we are compared to any other state in the country. I want to compare Connecticut to Connecticut. And what, to your point, what I've seen is all of a sudden street takeovers are a thing. All of a sudden wrong way driving is a thing. All of a sudden you can commit a crime at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and, oh, well, sorry. You know what I mean? I that's fine that egregious crimes are down. Great. I love to hear that. I'm not taking that away from our records. But when you see an increase in certain crimes happening, then we should not be saying, well, we're doing it better, though, than every other state in the country. I don't care.
You know, I have never heard it phrased better than that. We should not be comparing ourselves to other states. We should be trying to be our best Connecticut when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to making sure that our streets are safe, that our communities are safe, being our best Connecticut. And that is not what the police accountability did. So back to your original point. The question was, you know, do we have adequate penalties in place? Do they need to be strengthened? The answer is absolutely they need to be strengthened, because clearly what we did earlier this year has not worked. But strengthening those penalties is only as good as the culture we create when it comes to respect for the law and respect for law enforcement. So if we're going to get serious about crimes like street takeovers, we also have to get serious about the poor decisions that were made, the poor laws that were implemented in the police accountability bill five or six years ago. If we don't do those two things, we are set up for failure, and we will not be our best Connecticut when it comes to keeping our streets safe. We just won't. We just won't.
We're chatting with Senator Jason Perillo, who represents Connecticut's 21st district, including Stratford, Shelton, Monroe. And those have been locations where street takeovers have happened in the past couple of years. But we are also talking about street takeovers like the one in East Haven, where police say it became a targeted attack on officers. We're talking about the police accountability law in some regard, because it does play a role in where we are today in Connecticut with street takeovers. Here's a fear I have. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for a second, Senator Perillo, so just follow me, if you will. This is sort of the fear I have when you hear conversations about, let's just get this passed so we have a framework, we have something to work on, and then let's use the legislative session to really get the, you know, tweak things and make it what we should. The police accountability law has been on the books for years, and we have done consecutive sessions without touching it. And now we have passed laws, to your point, we have passed laws that address street takeovers specifically, and that's great, but we've never actually touched that document, the police accountability bill. We've not touched it. And I feel like that is sort of a similar thing that will happen with the housing bill. I believe it's sort of what we've seen with marijuana. I believe it's sort of what we've seen with gambling and online sports betting. I mean, do you anticipate when we go into yet another session where I would imagine street takeovers come up again, that the police accountability law does not get touched?
Yeah, and it's funny. You and I actually talked about this in regard to the housing bill a few weeks ago. And you had asked me, do you think this is something that will actually be fixed? History would indicate no. I'll be honest with you. And the police accountability bill is a great example. we have had many years to make the adjustments that, like, at the end of the day, most legislators know need to happen. But there has really been a lack of a willingness, honestly, from the governor's office and from Democrats in the legislature. I hate to be partisan, but let's just be honest for a second. There's been a lack of a willingness to admit that criminals are a problem. There's not a willingness to actually go after the individuals who are committing the crimes. And I'll give you a very, very sad example, actually. A number of years ago, a legislator with whom I served was killed in a wrong way car mm-hmm. accident on a highway up in northern Connecticut.
That was awful.
Alcohol was involved. Cannabis was involved. And the legislature's solution wasn't to stiffen penalties on driving under the influence. It was to install blinking red lights at entrances to highways. Now, look, I have no problem with installing lights to warn drivers. But let's remember what the underlying cause of almost every single one of these wrong-way crashes is. It's driving under the influence. But again,
right.
The legislature is just not willing or not courageous enough. I don't know what the problem is to tackle this issue. If we're not going to get serious about crime from 30,000 feet, how are we going to do anything about crime at the street level?
Yeah, you know what I think, and I'm not laughing, haha. I'm laughing because it's obviously ironic. What I think is the most interesting and the most telling about, you know, if you take street takeovers, for example, when I ask the question of lawmakers, police, what have you, doesn't matter who I'm talking to. If I ask, what do you want me to do? And I think I've asked this question, I don't know how many times, Senator Perillo, admittedly so. I have said, okay, I've got a kid in the backseat. It's 5 o'clock at night. It's the winter time, so it's dark out already. I'm leaving the mall. Because that's a pretty typical thing we would do. We'd go to a movie right after school. That's pretty common for my son and I. We're leaving and we see a street takeover. How would you like me to respond? Do you know no one knows what to tell me, police included, to call police? That's the fact is just be a sitting duck. That has been the answer for however long this has been going on, 3 years now. I've never been given actual solid advice. And that's not knocking lawmakers or police. That's just the reality of it. And if we can't tell residents what to do if they're in a street takeover, like, can I hit the person? Like, I hate to be that person. And listen, God forgive me, but I'm not sitting there waiting for my car to get destroyed and my kid to be crying his eyes out. Like, I'm going to hit you. I mean, and the fact is nobody can tell me what's right, wrong, what to do, how to react, but just call police, who also don't really have the tools they need or the resources to respond correctly. That is the most telling as just an average person. When we don't have the answers for residents as to what to do, that means we're not doing a good enough job stopping the problem, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, you're 100% right, because at the end of the day, we've created this culture where everybody's, you know, especially law enforcement, they're afraid to do anything. Because there's always this risk that they're going to be held accountable, that they're going to, their own personal finances are going to be gone after because they could get sued. You know, I could go on and on and on. I mean, there's so many problems with the police accountability bill that passed. And, you know, again, you sort of turn a crisis into some sort of victory. In this particular instance, where the officer was targeted individually himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would hope that maybe that will be a catalyst for those legislators who've been resistant to enhancing penalties and been resistant to changing the police accountability law. Maybe this will be a wake-up call. Maybe. That is my hope. If it's the case, I am happy to work with anybody on either side of the aisle to make it happen, because these things have to be bipartisan. But it does take a willingness from legislators in the majority. It takes a willingness from the governor's office to take this seriously, to keep people safe. Because it's not a big deal that we're safer than, I'll throw out a state, Mississippi. I don't live in Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't care. Right,
I live in Connecticut.
And I want
things to be safe, to your point, for my daughter.
Yeah,
Of course, you do.
I'll put myself in here. If I got to run somebody over to save my daughter, I'll go to jail. I'll be happy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Listen, we'll be jailmates.
I will gladly sit
in the cell with you. I'm just saying, and I don't mean to make light of this, obviously, but I just think it's lunacy sometimes. The other thing I'm wondering, Senator Perillo, and maybe you have insight into this, have we ever, and I know this would take a real effort, it really would, and I'm getting away from even the politics of it. I'm just talking about logic here. Have we ever had... I don't even know if we could. Every police chief in the state of Connecticut say how they're doing with recruitment and whether or not the police accountability law plays a role in that. I feel like that would be so effective because bar anything, both sides of the aisle say we need more cops. We love our cops. We need more of them. But here's the thing is everyone's retiring and nobody wants to be a cop because they don't feel like they're supported. And I wonder if you had concrete. Like, this is a real project. I understand this is a real project. So I'm not putting on you, but it'd be very fascinating to hear what police chiefs across the entire state are seeing since the accountability law was put into place and to find out if that really is a reason why. Because that alone should be a reason you touch the police accountability law. If we can't get people who want to be cops here because of that law, that alone should be a reason that we tweak it.
It's not difficult to track because every police department knows how many people apply to open positions. So, you know, turn back the clock 10, 15 years. If there was an open position at the Shelton Police Department, they had 100 applicants.
Right.
People were climbing over each other. Mm-hmm. And it was so competitive. Now, when the Shelton Police Department wants to hire somebody, they're taking somebody from another police department.
Right. They're stealing each other. Yeah,
nobody
they are.
New
right.
wants to go into the profession.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the hard data is readily available. The anecdotal data you hear every day. But again, look, every legislator, quote, you know, loves their police officers, loves their cops. Right up until you have to vote on something.
Mm.
And then it's just words. And I hate to say that. I have so many friends who are in law enforcement. So many friends.
Same. Same here.
But it's just lip service from so many legislators.
That's wrong.
They'll go to the police union dinner. But when it comes time to actually keep police officers safe, crickets, nothing.
Well, then that's a problem. And that means that you, the listener out there, if this bothers you, then sound the alarm about it when the next legislative session comes up, because this should not get ignored again, especially if it has an impact on things like street takeovers. So, Senator Perillo, I appreciate you having this conversation with us on the show. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll talk again really soon.